your Bibles with you. Open them up to Psalm 150. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray you help me to bring your word as you want it brought today. Let it rest in our hearts as seed sown in good ground, that it will grow and bear fruit to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everything should start and end like that. My not so humble opinion. Everything should start and end with praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord. You changed it up again. I thought I was going to preach one way today, and he's changing it up. So here we go. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let everything start and end with praise. We've been told that we shouldn't do anything until we pray, because we can't do anything until we pray. But before we even pray, I think, or at least in that prayer, it should start with praise. As the Lord told us in that model prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is praising God and praising God's name in that moment. As Psalm 150 begins and ends, let everything we do, Lord, particularly when we want to do it unto you, let it begin and end with praise. Hallelujah. So let's go through this. Let's study Psalm 150, or at least let me expound on Psalm 150. Praise God in his sanctuary. Hallelujah. Praise God in his sanctuary. It makes me think of three different ways. When I think of the word sanctuary, I think of three different things. I think of the house of God, and that's his sanctuary. That's, we call this room we're sitting in the sanctuary. And so when we come here, and I know that I do this, when I come in, I don't do this, you know, physically speaking out of my mouth, but it just happens in my spirit that I just have a praise to the Lord in my heart, because I love this church. Faith Fellowship Church is my family, and I love everyone here. I love this church. I love this place. When I walk in here, I feel the presence of God even more so than when I'm out and about in the world. I know the Holy Spirit is welcome here, and he makes me feel welcome when I come in here. I can feel his presence here. I am privileged to get to come here for praise moves Tuesdays and Fridays, and I come early. I'll say it. I don't have a lot of money, but I have some time. And Nola Jean is kind enough to, instead of giving her money for her efforts, I get to give some of my time. So I get to come in here, and I get to set up the room for praise moves. So I get to move all these chairs. And as I'm doing so, I just am thinking about the Lord. And I'm thinking about, we're going to pray for him in a really unique, special way. And I thank him for that. And so it's just me and God in here. And it's a very special time for me in those moments. And Nola Jean is all the time thanking me for it, but she just doesn't know what a blessing it is to me. So it's a special time, just me and the Lord. So praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in this room. Praise Him. You don't have to wait for Nola Jean to start praise and worship. You can come in here and say, praise the Lord. You know, like David did, if you flip backwards a little bit in the book of Psalms, you'll go to Psalm 122. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I love that one. In fact, why don't we just go there for a few moments? Psalm 122. Verse 1, I was glad. Oh, let me just stop there. Hold on, let me back up. It says, I don't know about in your Bible, but in my Bible it says, Psalm 122, a song of degrees of David. Now, I don't know how many know this, but when you're talking about a song of degrees, it's talking about it goes up. There's an elevation as the song or psalm progresses. And when you're going to Jerusalem, you're raising up. All the surrounding land around Jerusalem is lower. That's why Jericho is considered, well, I'm not going to go there, but it's lower. Geographically, it is lower in elevation, far lower. I think it's one of the lowest places in Israel, geographically speaking. And Jerusalem is the highest, one of the highest. And so when people are going to Jerusalem to go to temple at the time of Passover, they are going higher. And so this is a song of degrees. Oh, hallelujah, this is good. When we are praising the Lord, we are going higher. Hallelujah. All right, but let's get back to the Psalm 122. Verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Our feet will stand within thy gates. Our feet stand in this sanctuary of God, in this house of the Lord. Our feet stand and our spirits rise when we're praising Him in spirit and truth. We are rising. We're going up in this song of degrees as we raise Him up and praise His holy name. Glory to you, God. Hallelujah. Another way, we'll go back to Psalm 150. Praise God in His sanctuary. In His sanctuary. I was speaking of praise moves a couple of moments ago. The foundation scripture of praise moves is Ephesians chapter 6. No, 1 Corinthians. Sorry. Back up. Rewind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. So let me go there, because my memory just proved faulty, so let me just go there so I can read it straight to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, as the scripture tells us there, our very bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our very bodies and our spirits are His sanctuary. I hope they're His sanctuary anyway. I hope I make a sanctuary. I'm not going to whip out the Webster's definition right from my memory, but it's a place of safety, a place of comfort, a place of ease, and a place of peace. So I hope and I pray that I make my spirit, my heart, a place of ease for the Holy Spirit, because I am His temple. This body is His temple. And so I want Him to feel at home in this body. And I want Him to feel at home in this spirit. So let us welcome Him in our spirits and in our bodies. And that's another thing I love about praise moves, is we're worshiping Him with not only our spirits, but with our bodies. Because we are putting our bodies into shapes and movements that are, by design, actual worship of God, the true God. Hallelujah. So that is a way to look at the word sanctuary, that this body, this heart, this spirit is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Praise Him in this sanctuary. Praise Him mentally, you know. You're, I don't know, stuck in a meeting. Praise God, the meeting won't last forever. Yeah, I don't know, but praise Him. Make it a habit. I'll get into that a little bit later, maybe, as God leads. And then another way I think about sanctuary, praise God in His sanctuary, is His actual physical sanctuary, which is in the third heaven. So I want to go to Hebrews. Come with me now through the pages of the scripture. Let's go to Hebrews. I'll get there eventually. All right. The Bible is falling apart, but that's a good, a well-worn Bible means you are using your faith and using your prayer life and using the Word. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to get there, hopefully without any pages falling out. Hebrews chapter 4. All right, if you're listening to the recording, fast forward a tiny bit. All right, here we go. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to go back to 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's why we come to the throne of grace, because that's where He is. That's where He is. I mean, He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. But we can go to His throne of grace in His sanctuary in the third heaven. We can go there by faith. The faith which He gives to us and the command which He gives to us. You know, Jesus said to us in Matthew, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Go there by faith. Go to that sanctuary. Go to His throne of grace boldly. He didn't just say come. He said come boldly. We have boldness because of the blood of Jesus. We have the invitation to come through, and we're able, our ticket to that throne of grace is the blood of Jesus. It's our clothing. It's our, the blood of Jesus is our clothing. Praise God. So we can go to His sanctuary in those three ways. I'm sure there's more. But those, that's what comes to my mind, is the physical house of God we have here on earth, where we go in our bodies and praise and worship Him and hear from Him in His Word by His mouthpieces, preachers and teachers. And we have ourselves, our physical body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's his sanctuary. Go to him in his sanctuary. Worship him from the heart in spirit and truth. And go to the third heaven. Go to his throne of grace. Hallelujah. Praise him in the firmament of his power. I'm continuing in Psalm 150 now. The second half of verse 1. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Hallelujah. When I see firmament, I think sky. When I think of his power, I think of it. He's all powerful. And so his power is our covering. His power is his Holy Spirit. Praise him in his Holy Spirit. Praise him in spirit and truth. I'm going to move on. Praise him, verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. I don't even want to dwell on that just because there are so many. I could not even begin. The first and most important mighty act, I think, is the salvation that we have been given through God giving Jesus. He sent Jesus. That's a mighty act. That's his son. He sent. Jesus was obedient. First, God sent him. God made that plan. In the Garden of Eden, even before he expelled them from the garden for the sin, he had the plan to redeem mankind. So, praise him for his mighty acts. And that, I can't imagine. I've never been a parent, so I can't imagine the sheer daunting task it would be. The closest example I could come to is a parent of a soldier or someone in the military, knowing that that child could die. They're going on this mission. They're going to this place to fulfill a duty that they've been given just by the sheer fact that they're in the military. And so I can't imagine, and it's not even like they chose it for their child. Their child chose it for themselves. And yet they are needing to release that child to do so because it's that child's life. That's a hard thing, to let your child live their own life and let them give up their life. Because I believe that people who go in the military, they understand what can happen. I would hope they understand that. I hope they understand that they might give the ultimate sacrifice. But for a parent to tell a child, you're going to die, you're going to live a hard life, and you're going to die to save others. That, I can't imagine how hard that must have been for God. The only thing that must have been harder was when Jesus actually did die. Because that's when he had forsaken him. He had to turn away from him because all of the sin of the world had come upon Jesus. And there can be no sin in the presence of God. So Jesus, who had walked with God his entire earthly life, who had lived in heaven, who came down to the earth he created, now had all the sin of the world upon him. And God had to turn his face away from him, forsake him. I can't imagine how hard that must have been for God. I just cannot fathom that. I'm grateful for it, but I just don't understand it. But talk about a mighty act. To control oneself is mighty. To control one's tongue, to control one's own behavior, that takes some serious strength and might. God kept himself from stopping Jesus from dying on that cross. He let him die on that cross. He turned away from him on that cross. And by the result is that the whole world, whoever will, is saved. Hallelujah. How mighty is that? Hallelujah. That is excellent greatness. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. All right, let me go back. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. You know, David's a musician, so he knows instruments, and he's probably, maybe, talking about actual physical trumpets they blew back then. But what if, because David's also a prophet, what if he's also talking about the trumpet, the last trumpet? Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. We're told that at the last day, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught away to meet him in the air. What if David is talking about that sound also? Praise him. What praise is that? Wow. That might just be a sound of praise. He's told his son, the bridegroom, go get your bride. And that trumpet is the sound of praise, that it's time for the bridegroom to go get the bride. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Hallelujah. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel or tambourine and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Hallelujah. Praise him. Just praise God with all these musical instruments. I don't know about that. Nola Jean sure knows about that. Praise him. Verse 5, praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Every single thing that has breath, not just of humans, but of every mammal on this earth. When the birds are singing, when the squirrels are chittering, when the cows are mooing, you know, all these things. What if that's praise to God? Hallelujah. When the dogs are barking, when the cats are meowing, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, when Jesus made his triumphal entry, and the people were praising him and singing Hosanna in the highest. Those legalists, those Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, they were like, hey, tell these people to be quiet. Because they were doing what they should be doing. They were praising their God. And those legalists didn't want Jesus to be praised, because they didn't believe him. So Jesus told them, you know what, if they're silent, the very rocks will cry out. It's not just things that have breath will praise the Lord. He said rocks would cry out. Like Linda's song says, I don't want to let the rocks cry out. I ain't going to let the mountains shout. I'm going to open up my mouth and praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord a whole lot better than any rocks. And we can praise the Lord a whole lot better than any birds, or any cows or coyotes. We can praise the Lord far better than they. So let's do it. Let's praise the Lord. Let's open up our mouth and praise the Lord. For it was we he adopted, not a stone cold stone. It was we that he lifted for his very own. He made us his very own. So let's praise him for that. Let's glorify him in that. And when you have a problem, when you have a crisis, when you have a heartache, when you have something that is trying to weigh you down, this praise will act like helium in your body and raise you up. It will raise your spirit up, and you will be reminded as you praise the God who is greater than every single thing, who made everything, then you'll be reminded that you have victory. You can't be down when you're up. When you're really, truly praising God, you get lifted up. I've had it work in my life. I've had some pretty stark examples of it. I don't want to go into that. I just want to say that trust me. Trust my considered, not just opinion, trust my considered experience that whatever it is you may be going through, the first thing you must do is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gideon did it with his few, with his 300 against thousands. You know, Joshua and the children of Israel did it when they were walking around that walled city of Jericho. They did it. They praised the Lord. Jesus, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he praised the Lord. God, I know you hear me. Praise the Lord. That he's praising God. Whatever it is you need to do, whatever mighty task it is that you are facing, the first thing you must do is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. David praised the Lord. Shall we go and fight? He's praising the Lord, and he's asking him, should we go and fight? God said, go. Or he said, no, don't go. And David was a mighty man of valor because he praised the Lord. He sought him before anything else, and before he made his requests made known to God, he praised him. I'm going to end here with a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I love this passage. I try to make it my mantra. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Nola Jean knows the one I'm talking about. I'm going to start in verse 16. All right. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Evermore. That means always and forever. Evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's go back to verse 16. Rejoice evermore. That means praise. Rejoice. Celebrate. Show your happiness. Show your joy. Rejoice. Rejoice that you are a child of the living God. Rejoice. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whatever it is that's coming against you or in your spirit, because the enemy is all the time shooting those fiery darts, rejoice that you have the shield of faith. Hold that shield of faith up. When your arm starts flagging and it's hard to hold up that shield of faith, rejoice. 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 Praise God. Praise him in his holy mountain. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him, and your arm will find the strength to hold up that shield of faith, and then those fiery darts of the enemy will be quenched. And you'll find strength to do whatever it is God is asking you to do. Okay, Nola Jean, please come up. whatever it is, God is asking you to do, whatever it is the enemy is trying to force you to do. Maybe he's trying to force you, the enemy is trying to force you to go through a time of barrenness or a time of doubt. Tell him, don't tell him to talk to the hand. Tell him talk to the nail-scarred hand. I don't want the devil talking to me, and I don't want to talk to him. I want to do as Michael did instead. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. So when you have a sick loved one, rejoice. God knows about this. This is not a surprise to God. When you have hard times at work, people giving you a tough time, some people even trying to undermine the good that you are trying to do, rejoice. God, I know you know about this. God, you're bigger than this problem. You're bigger than any calamity. You're bigger than any conspiracy. You are God, and you are good, and your mercy endures forever. So I rejoice. So today, I want to leave you with four words that I hope you remember and use. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 in a nutshell. But what a powerful nutshell. When you plant that nut, that acorn, in your heart, those four words can grow into a mighty tree of strength in the Lord. And he tells us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you wonder how to do that. This is how. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I give you glory for your word. I give you thanks that you can help us understand it by your Holy Spirit. And God, I hope and I ask, praise you and thank you that you help us to act this out, to live this, that we can be examples of your love and your grace in this ever-increasingly dark and dangerous world. It is dark and it is dangerous, but we rejoice, God, because you are with us. Because you left Jesus on the cross that day, now you never leave us nor forsake us. So we rejoice, and we pray, and we give thanks. In Jesus' name.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Oh, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.